chapter 6, and we'll get there, and then I'm going to read a passage in Exodus chapter 20. If you can turn to Mark chapter 6, and then I'll look at Exodus chapter 20, read that passage, then we'll get to Mark chapter 6, and then hopefully it's a little longer introduction, and hopefully we can learn something from the Word of God this morning. And Exodus chapter, actually I'm looking at Exodus 32, you're going to be looking at chapter 6 and verse 20. But in Exodus chapter 32, if you could just pay attention, you get there in Mark chapter 6 and then just pay attention. In Exodus chapter 32, this is what the Bible says. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. The reason I'm using this story is because you see that Joshua was with Moses, and they were up in the mount, and they heard a noise. And it was a strange noise. And they said, it sounds like the noise of war, but then as they said, it is not that. It's not the sound of war. And he said, it's not for the cry of mastery. It's not the cry of someone being overcome. It's the noise of them that sing, do I hear? And then they came down, and Moses, after being with God, was angry because of what he saw. Because what had changed the people? The music. The music had changed them. Mark chapter 6, that's where you are. Mark chapter 6 and verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy. This is John the Baptist. We know he was the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist was a great man. And this is John, and it says that Herod feared him. Feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, his captains and chief estates of Galilee. And then look at verse 22. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced, pleased Herod, them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. The reason I use these two passages is because this morning we're going to talk about protecting your mind in a media crazy world. Protecting your mind in a media crazy world. Because there is a power in media. And here you see two instances. And the reason I'm using them is because we can go to the Bible and we can get principles that will help establish us how to treat media in this day and age. Because media is powerful. How do we know that? Well, because in Joshua and Moses' time, what did the music make the people do? Toss God, make a God, and say, forget it. And basically, when you read the passage around it, they came down, Joshua and Moses, and they were half naked too. The music made them do this. Here we see in Mark chapter 6 that here is Herod, and he wants to throw a party. And the dancing of a girl made him give up something and do things that later he did not want to do. That's the power of media. That's the power of music. That's the power of some of the things that is out there in the world, and yet we play with it. We joke around with it, and you let your kids play with it. And yet, arts, entertainment, not necessary entertainment, but maybe drama, they're not all wrong. God made us with talents to enjoy them. We just talked about the choir singing. And the choir can sing, and you can hear a beautiful piece, and maybe a piano and organ that played at the offertory, and you can hear a beautiful piece, and it does, in some sense, move you. It moves you. Now, in the area of church, it should move us to worship God. It should move us in a closer relationship, and we can say, wow, that is beautiful. The Psalms, the book of Job, the Song of Songs are some of the most prominent examples of Bible poetry. So arts and things like that, the Bible has poetry. It can be beautiful. Drama, I don't know if you know this, but drama is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 4, Ezekiel was instructed to act out a drama before the children of Israel. He was instructed to do a drama. David, in 1 Samuel 16, we read he was a skillful musician and was a songwriter. Solomon, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, wrote over 1,000 songs. Kenaniah, I was going to name one of my sons that, Kenaniah, he was a great vocalist. You probably have heard of him. I haven't either until I was studying this, but in 1 Chronicles 15, he was a great vocalist and song leader. Bezalel was cited in Exodus 35 as a gifted visual artist. And what do we mean by that? It said Bezalel was instructed, the Bible says he was given gifts to make all the crafts for the temple, for the tabernacle. And God said he gave him special talent. So there's things with arts and drama and singing that God says are good. So creativity isn't what's wrong. God-given talent, that's not necessarily what's wrong. What's wrong is when we give it to the devil. We're going to take a look this morning at our choices and protecting our mind in a media crazy world. On Halloween, on October 30th, 1938, millions of Americans tuned into a radio program. It was a featured play by Orson Welles. The performance that evening was an adaptation of a science fiction novel called The War of the Worlds. It was about a Martian invasion of the Earth. And they did it on radio. But Welles made an important change in the book. Under his direction, the play was written and performed so that it actually sounded like a real news broadcast. It was supposed to heighten the dramatic effect. And it did. Thousands of people across America in 1938 went into a panic. They thought Martians were invading. Thousands of people. They thought that the U.S. was being overrun by Martians. And they thought, according to the news report, that it was starting in New Jersey. In the New York Tribune, Dorothy Thomas wrote this: Mr. Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater of the Air have made one of the most fascinating and important demonstrations of all time. They have proven that a few effective voices accompanied by sound effects can convince masses of people of a totally unreasonable, completely fantastic proposition and create a nationwide panic. That actually happened in 1938. Panic. Thousands of people going crazy. Proving what? Media has an effect on you. Don't say it doesn't have an effect on you. The reality of media and the way that it shapes our lives is amazing. Socrates once said this. He said, when the souls hear music, it drops its best guard. Do you hear that? When the soul hears music, it drops its best guard. It's one of the best descriptions of the power that music has. With music, it is possible to open up a door into the heart of a listener. Once inside, the musician can either beautify the interior of the land of that heart, or they can destroy it and make it a wicked place. And that's what has happened in our media crazy world. All right, let me give you an example of media. A test here this morning. Oh, yeah. You ready? Yeah, you're already asleep. All right, so slap the person next to you if you can. All right? No, a bunch of you didn't do that again. You're not saying amen, and you're not smacking the person next to you. All right, what's going on? Oh, yeah, there we go. All right, now you said amen. Now smack that person next to you. All right, here we go. This is the test. All right, here's the test. The best part of waking up is, okay, got that one. Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you. Good. Good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. Oh, look at that. Somebody. I am stuck on. Oh, no, that's an old one. Some of you, I'm stuck on Band-Aid. Because Band-Aid stuck on me. All right, there we go. Here we go. Let's continue the quiz. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. That's what I thought. Oh, you think media doesn't have an effect? Did I prove it? Here's another one. I come to the garden alone. Oh, that's better. While the dew is still on the roses. Crown him with many crowns. Lamb upon his throne. But you notice, I had to think about it. I did this. And then I went to the mighty fortresses of our God. I was like, oh, ouch. Because all of us were the same, like, oh. But guess what? I can remember a stupid Band-Aid commercial. We can remember about different things. All right, here's another one. Pardon me, do you have any? Oh, you got it, Grey Poupon. All right, what about M&M's? Melts in your mouth. Look at this. Okay, now wait a minute. Let's continue on. We did the songs. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget. Oh, so you got one. All right, some of you read your Bible. Now this one is good. I pulled this one up. Let's see if you get this one. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was dead, rich. Look at that. He goes to our school. He goes to our school, folks. Though he was dead. No, he was dead. Yet for your sakes. All right? Yes. All right? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. All right, now in a life situation, let's do this and think about it. Let's say a friend comes to you with a dilemma. They have a friend that has said something against her, or they're not sure of what to do in their life. And as a person, what do? Do you say your point of reference is it, hey, you know what? I read a book that said, I heard an interview on the radio and they said, oh, I remember a show and it did. Is that your point of reference? It shouldn't be. But in this media crazy world, I've talked to some people and they do counseling through a television show. They get their advice from, you know who, Dr. Phil, Oprah, all right? And they care for you. Yes, they do. As they fly in their jet over top of your house. All right? Yeah, they love that money. That's what they're there for. But yet, we don't always go to the Word of God, do we? The Word of God should be our point of reference. The media shapes our lives. It continues to do so every day. We have a consumer-driven world, and we're saturated by it. You can tell by what we know, what we remember. You can also tell by the number of Christians in the world who approach life with a very worldly point of view. They have a worldly point of view when it comes to truth, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to marriage and language and modesty and finances and a whole list of subjects. It shouldn't really be a surprise when you begin to add up the amount of our lives devoted to media. There's a George Barna poll, and this shocked me. I didn't know this. There are more Christian teens that watch MTV than worldly teens. So what are they being shaped by? The world. There are more Christian teens that watch it than worldly teens. As of November of 2009, there were 115 million TVs in the homes of the U.S. 30% of the homes had four or more televisions. 25% had three. 28% had two. And when you add it all up, all right, someone did some numbers and added it all up, it's about 330 million TV sets in America. More, that is more than the entire population of America. We have more televisions than people. U.S. consumers watch more TV than the whole rest of the world. And half of America says we watch it too much. But we don't have enough character to stop it. In the past 2 years, there's a whole bunch of changes in media consumption. There is more time spent in consuming media now. And part of that is because of MP3 players. And now you have, you've got all kinds of, whether iPods, and you've got all these devices now. And we cannot be connected. You know, so I've got to walk into somewhere and like, hey, do they got Wi-Fi? I've got to be connected. Man, I sit down with teenagers. I was with a teenager this past weekend. I was out in Tennessee, and there was a boy who was 11 years old. 11 years old, and he was asking my son, because my son was able to go with me, he was asking my son if he had an iPhone. He said, hey, give me your number and we can text. And my son's just staring at him. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, I can text you. Well, that's not possible. Why? Because, you know, I don't want to ruin their life with being controlled by media. I've joked with some teenagers because they come in and they're just glued to their phone. And I'm like, hey, just take a break. You need a rest, man. And I know that people need to hear from you. You got business deals going down. There's people hanging on your words. But you need a break because that is stress. You're probably overloaded because these people are just waiting to hear, what does Jimmy say? Well, really, that's kind of the whole world, though. I mean, now it's the whole selfie thing, isn't it? And that's retarded, isn't it? Now, I saw it in a paper this week. They sent me a link saying, hey, this might be a good gift, and it was a selfie phone holder. A selfie phone holder that you click it on, you extend it so that you, and it slides in your pocket. I said, what in the world? A selfie phone holder now. How stupid are we? And the word itself says what we're consumed with. Self. And the media has made it to where we are most important. You're the number one person. It's all about you, even at Christmas time. What have they shoved down, the media, what have they shoved down our kids' throat? Ask, 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 get, get, get. You never hear give. And now, if you would ever dare say, Merry Christmas. I mean, how silly. And yet it's those people that are so excited at Christmas, isn't it? I was telling the Growing in Grace class last night, I was just doubled over laughing. Because I think it's in New York City, they put up a billboard, The Atheist. And it says, dear Santa, what I want for Christmas is to skip church. It's a billboard. Now, I was laughing, and some of you are like, oh. I'm like, you know what, let him do it. I laugh at him. Like, you guys are stupid. If I was in New York City, I'd buy a billboard and say, dear atheist, Santa didn't get your letter, but Satan did. And I don't want you in my church. Stay away. I'm a bully. You know what? They're so unhappy. Why? This is all about self. And how dare I saw you happy. Happy at Christmas. Well, I'm sorry I'm not like you. I'm nice. I'm friendly. And you're grouchy. And so go over there and just, they're so upset that you could possibly have joy at Christmas. But that's what the world has given them. That's what their life has given them. That's what, whether they say, I don't believe in God, but I'm telling you what, they believe in a God. They believe in themselves and they believe in the devil. And that's who has duped them. And the media has duped some of us. So what can we do? What can we do? I'm going to give us three quick points this morning then to help us in this idea of protecting our mind in a media crazy world. So let's look at some verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians first of all. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We'll look at chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and then we're going to look at two other passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look what it says here in verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. That means all things are not good for me, though. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things aren't good for me. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any, or and you could put thing after it. I will not be brought under the power of anything. Then look at 1 Corinthians 10, just a couple pages over. 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Look at verse 31. Wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I got three simple points this morning to help us in protecting our mind against a media crazy world. First one is free your mind. Free your mind. What do I mean by that? As God's children, I have been given freedom. That's what the world doesn't understand. I am not in bondage. They are. They're in bondage. They can't live without the world. But you and I can live in the world and I can live outside of the world. I can have it and I cannot have it. Why? Because I am free. I've been made free. So I need to free my mind. As God's children, we're given great freedom. We are free from the chains of sin. We're free from the chains of death. We're given freedom to have fun and be entertained. Now, I like to have fun. I like to cut up. I like to have a good time. And I understand good, wholesome fun that when I go home at night, I don't have regrets for. That is fun. That is wholesomeness. That's healthy. But the world, they don't understand it. The only fun they can do is, man, they got to go and they got to ruin their temple. They ruin their body. They do something and then the next day they regret it. They're in bondage. There's bondage there. Let me ask you this. Is the music you are listening to, according to these passages, when we say free our mind, it means that the things we do should build us up? Is the music you're listening to, does it build you up? Does it build you up? Is the television you watch, is it building you up? The books you read, are they lifting you up? Or are you kind of depressed? God's music, God's wisdom, God's word, God's ways, they don't depress you. But the world, it'll get you depressed. Does it glorify God? Do they send a good message? I've often talked to teenagers this way. All right, and so now all of us together, we can think about it. Let's then think about our media. Let it's the internet. Now you got so many things. Now there's Instagram. I mean, Facebook is almost behind the times. I mean, you can't keep up with everything. And so you have all this media and all this connection. So let me ask you this. Could you sit down and pray before you view these things? Does it make you say, oh man, I just read this. Man, I've got to get in the Word. Oh, no. Most of us, Well, then guess what? You need to free your mind. You need to free your mind. Practice learning the difference between what's necessary and what's entertainment, too. Free yourself of it. What if at least, and this is my challenge to some of you, some have already done this. Okay? But my challenge to you is, hey, if you're addicted all the time to it, this week, go one day without it. Go one day. Free yourself from that bondage. Put it aside. And then say, all right, God, I'll take that time and I'll read God's word. What you'll find is, one, the devil's going to have a fight for you. That's what you will find. He'll have a fight for you. The next thing you'll see is that if you do it, you'll feel free. You'll see the chains of bondage. You'll feel them start dropping off of you. Over time, you'll rediscover how our lives have gotten filled up with unnecessary junk. Try giving up entertainment in the name of focusing on Christ. Freedom. You know, and think about this. This is and free your mind. Think about this in the area of conservative radio. All right, in my lifetime, I really believe conservative radio is more, not less. Has it helped? Oh, our country is so much more conservative. So much more. Maybe not. You know why? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. And we know it. And you know what happens? I'm the same way as you. I've got to stop. Why? Because guess what it does to me? Oh, it's so bad. But you know, when I spend that same amount of time in the Word, I get rejuvenated. I get fired up. I'm ready to go. Why? Because the Bible and godly things free my mind. And the world will always depress you. It brings bondage. So number one, free your mind. Number two, You could turn to Romans chapter 12, and you'll know this verse. Romans chapter 12. Number one, free your mind. Number two, surrender your mind. Surrender your mind. What do I mean? That Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. It just makes horse sense to give myself to God. And then verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Surrender it to God. Don't be conformed. As a Christian, we must be willing to offer God the best that we have. As a young person, as an adult sitting here, is it worth you putting that time and energy of the into watching the media and letting them influence you? I would rather give my time to God. I get much more benefit when I give something to God. Surrender it to God. It's depressing sometimes watching a young person that'll give their energy. Because you won't always have your energy. Oh yeah, some of you older folks sitting here, you look around at some of the young people, you're like, how do they walk? Wow, how do they get up? Man, they have so much energy. But you give that to the devil. Why do that? Why give some of that energy, some of the time that you have? I don't want the devil to have any of it. Because all he does is just like in the case of Herod. In the case of Herod, what did he do? Send some little girl out there, and then all of a sudden that consumed his mind, put him in bondage, and then captivated him, and then he did something he regretted. He killed one of the greatest men that was on this earth. Because that's what the devil will do to you when you give him your best. He'll mock you. He'll laugh at you. He'll spew it back at you, but then it's too late. Don't give him your best. Don't give him anything good. Surrender it to God. And thirdly then, so we free our mind, we surrender our mind, and then we defend our minds. What do we mean by that? And I'm just going to read some passages. You can turn to Philippians chapter 4, and I think you'll know that passage. But I want to read some other ones. Defend your mind. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In Matthew chapter 26 or 22, it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And in Acts 17, before I get to Philippians, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Then look at our another passage. This is our final one in Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what does it tell us to do? Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What is God telling you? Defend your mind. Fight against it. Don't give in to it. Put up walls. Don't give in. to that pressure that, man, I've got to be connected. Oh, I got to see what they, what did they say? Who cares? Who cares? Do you know in life, people are going to like you and people are going to not like you? I don't know if you figured that out yet. That's another, it's a deep thought that I just threw down there. I mean, some of you, that's just going to hit. It's going to hit deep. Like, wow. I mean, I was there at church and there's people that like me and people that don't. Whoa. Yes, deep thought. And when you figure out that really the most important thing that I've got to realize is I need to be near Christ. And when I'm near Christ, people are going to like me and people are not going to like me. But guess what? I'm near Christ. And I need to be like him. And the Bible tells us here to think on some things. So I'm defending my mind. How do I defend my mind? I go to work at it. So that means I analyze what I'm doing with my mind. When I'm watching something, I'm saying, is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it just? Is it righteous? Is this edifying me? When I go at my day, I'm working at it. And then if it's not, what do? The Bible tells me that those things I think on. So what's the opposite? If it's disgusting, if it's dirty, if it's bad, we could make up our own verse. Don't think on those things. See, I defend my mind. Those bad things I'm not thinking about. They're not allowed around me. And I fight for the right things. So I have control of what I watch. I have control of what goes in my ears. I have control of what I see. I have control of my feet and where they go. So there is a way for you to stop it. And so analyze it. Defend your mind. And when something is nasty, you turn it off. And then if you have to, you're surrendered and you're saying, God, okay, it seems like it's controlling me. Then what? Maybe I have to get it out of my house. Maybe I have to get it way far away. Why? Because I'm going to defend my mind. My mind is God's because I've surrendered it to him. So we work at it. I underline then. I go to the things that are lovely. I go to the things that are pure. I go to the things that are just. Now, I can tell you, I just described the Word of God. So guess what I should do? I should read it. I should underline it. I should highlight it. I should memorize it. I should work at it. Why? Because I know it's lovely. I know it's good. I know it's righteous. And so I should be there working on it. Media. What should we do when it comes to media? We need to guard our minds. We protect ourselves. We free our minds. We surrender our minds. And we defend our minds. There was an experiment many years ago. There were some people fitted with special prismatic glasses. These devices would distort vision so that straight lines look like they were curved and curved lines look like they were straight. Within just a few days, they did an experiment and they got a few people to come in and they had them wear these glasses. Within just a few days, the unnatural shapes, though, and the tinted edges, the inverted landscapes disappeared, and their mind, guess what happened to them? They said it was an amazing scientific experiment. Their mind switched it all, and their mind started looking at it all like it was normal. Now, when I read that, thought of media. Because guess what, some of you sit here and you get mad when I mention Eminem and how nasty he is. You get mad. You get mad when I say that sodomy is a sin. You get mad when I say it's wrong to have an abortion. That's killing a life. You get mad. Like, oh, what does he say? Who does he think he is? Free your mind. Free your mind. You've been putting on the devil's glasses. The media has got you duped. And you've sucked it in and you've watched it. And now that which is wrong, you say is right. And that which is right, according to the Bible, you say is wrong. Protect your mind against this media. It's the devil's tool. And the devil is using it. You know what? We like using media. Media for different things. We will use it in the right way. But I'm going to protect my mind from the devil's onslaught. And you're silly if you don't. Let's have heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This morning, talking about media. Talking about television and your phone and the internet and the Facebook and all the different things that are out there. It could be your music. All this media that is here that is just pounding on you. And it's trying to mold you into something not godly. Have you given into it? Have you freed your mind? Have you surrendered your mind? Have you defended your mind? This morning, God may have convicted you in some area. He may have given you, the Holy Spirit may have given you an idea of something to do. Then you need to solidify it. Maybe it is that you need to come down to the altar. It could be that you need to talk to somebody about it. Then come down and talk to somebody. We have men that will get someone to talk to you, to help you. Why? Because you need to be a stronger Christian. Don't let the world dictate what type of Christian you are. Let the Bible dictate that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we can come.